You are listening to Screenfish Radio. I'm your host, Steve Norton. In Blumhouse's Fantasy Island, the mysterious Mr. Rourke, played by Michael Pena, generously welcomes five contest winners to his secluded hotel for a weekend where all their dreams can come true. However, when those dreams become nightmares, his guests must fight their way through their own desires in order to survive. This week, we welcome returnee Alan Chabot and newcomer Adam Howard to talk about whether or not fantasies are dangerous, what it means to forgive yourself, and the nature of a hero. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish.
That would have been really good, because then you were like, okay, then what does it mean?
It would have been amazing if it was like somebody else's dream entirely, like Adam Sandler comes in.
Oh, that would have been good too.
Like, what was that? What did I eat?
It's because you didn't have a Snickers. You know?
Welcome to Screenfish Radio. We're thrilled that you can join us today as we talk about Fantasy Island. We are thrilled this week to have back Alan Chabot and Adam Howard, our new face to the island, if you will. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
This week we are talking about Blumhouse's Fantasy Island film, the reboot of the classic TV series, which actually is also been rebooted later in the 90s. But Fantasy Island tells the story of the enigmatic Mr. Rourke, who makes the secret dreams of his lucky guests come true at a luxurious but remote tropical resort. But when the fantasies turn into nightmares, the guests have to solve the island's mystery in order to escape with their lives. Fantasy Island is directed by Jeff Wadlow and stars Lucy Hale, Michael Pena, Maggie Q, and more. As always, a reminder, this podcast is rated S for spoilers. But guys, why don't you tell me, what did you think of Fantasy Island? I have to say it like that, because I think that's actually required by law to say it that cool.
Go ahead, honey.
I mean, watching it, my only fantasy was that the movie would find some sort of path. I felt the movie was trying to pull me in too many directions, and it couldn't seem to make up its mind about what kind of film it wanted to be. I always say, you know, a comedy and a horror and a romance and a feel-good, and I was a little confused by the end. I think Alan was confused as well. Didn't really make sense.
I think there was a lot of confusion in the movie, especially considering the most part of the movie, Michael Pena's Mr. Rourke. His character,
Mr. Rourke
is, you know, portrayed as this mysterious, you know, character that's supposed to lead everyone in their fantasy, but you also kind of hate him, especially with how the beginning kind of started. With the one girl getting captured. So by the time it got to the point where you were supposed to feel bad for him that his wife's dead, I didn't. I didn't really feel bad for him. I felt like, you know, that kind of switching the tone a bit was just kind of like, okay, I don't feel bad for you. Considering, you know, all these people are either dying or or enjoying their fantasies. And he's just letting it all happen, knowing what the consequence of it all is. So I didn't really feel bad for him in the end when they revealed that his wife was, you know, either dying or dead or whatever she was. Lucy Hale's character, although, yes, I did love her in Pretty Little Liars, this was not a good role for her. I felt that, okay, she had an abrasive character in the beginning. Okay, fine. But as it went on, I felt like her acting ability just kind of fell a little short. When the twist came out that, you know, she had some secret, you know, revenge against them all for, you know, them all being a part of a fire that killed a guy that she potentially could have been in love with, I found that to be a little bit petty. And also kind of unnecessary, considering most of the movie was going well, and then once it switches, it kind of sucked near the end, and then the ending was really stupid. So I was kind of disappointed. I felt like it could have been done better or changed in a more, you know, psychological direction, where maybe they wake up and it was a dream or a hallucinogen
or
would that ending really have made it better if they woke up and it was a dream?
Not though? Necessarily, though. I mean, like, I feel like if they woke up and it was, you know, they're like, it's like a Saw situation where they're now trapped in this place or whatever or something or whatever, and become pod people for the next group that, you know, shows up or whatever, that maybe would have been a little bit interesting. I don't know.
I didn't hate it nearly as much as you guys, but I admit it was dumb. Currently at 9% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, I didn't hate it.
9%.
I didn't hate it. I just felt it could have been
better. Oh, it could have been better.
Yeah,
I think there's too many ideas. It was a low-budget film. It's $7 million. It said it made 23, so it made three times its budget. That's pretty... It's profitable.
When 9% on Rotten Tomatoes is bad, though. That's sort of the key thing that people look for now.
There are lower scores.
But that's a bad score.
That's a pretty bad score.
I think it's an undeserved score. I'm not saying this is a good movie, but I'm saying, you know, it's maybe a 40% on Rotten Tomatoes movie. Like, there's some things that aren't gutter trash in the movie. I will say this. I thought the premise... And I don't mean at the end of the movie. I mean the premise of their reboot was brilliant. And I say because when you look at Fantasy Island, the show, it was this show that was all about excess, right? It was all about what can you do for me? What can make your greatest dream come true? It just wouldn't work today.
No.
It wouldn't work that way. Bringing it back as a horror element, I thought was great.
But there wasn't a horror to it.
No, but I mean, it wasn't like, I don't know, like it was like a thriller-ish sci-fi. I didn't mind that.
I wouldn't say it was thriller.
Well, it's because you were bored.
The most action that happened was guns, which, you know, there's not really much horror to that aspect.
The more
it's
I
not
think
like,
about
you know,
it.
I mean, they had some weird, creepy creatures here and there, but it wasn't exactly like it didn't, you know, blow my mind for, you know, this weird zombie creature to show up briefly for a second and then disappear or, you know, their eyes to bleed black. Like,
there's just too much stuff without explanation.
There it is. There's too much stuff going on.
Where I got lost is when they started to do the flashback where everybody kind of met everybody and it was over and over from different points of view. I don't think there was enough time in the film to properly.
And they never showed this character that, you know, they all lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there was some more backstory on this, is it
Nick Taylor.
Nick. Okay. So,
If there was some backstory
on Nick's life leading up to it, I think then that would have been a little bit more better. Cause then it was just confusing cause they kept talking about this character that obviously is dead, but has no real relevance to the film itself without any type of connection that holds you to it. All we know is he died in the fire. Like, there's no, you know, he was best friends with this guy who happened to know this girl.
Well, they do have that conversation when they do say, you know, he was our roommate, or, I was supposed to help him and I didn't, or I was the cop. Like, they do have that conversation, but it does come out of nowhere.
Like, they don't, exactly. There's no build up for it. So when it finally comes out, you're just like, okay, but again, who the hell's Nick? And then, I'm sorry, but the idea of, you know, a dead version of him coming out of the water in the end to scoop up Lucy Hale, you know, and everyone just wakes up in a room. What happened, you know,
the ending's atrocious. I'm not defending the writing.
Right.
I thought the premise was a good way. Like, this was not a franchise that could have been brought back any other way. And if they said, don't worry, we're going to bring it back as a TV series, it wouldn't have worked. Years back, they brought back, this is a strange comparison, but I'm thinking of old reboots. They brought back Melrose Place. Yep. They managed to adapt Melrose Place to a current culture because it's basically the same soap opera, 90210.
Same thing.
Even Dynasty, they've sort of done that again. I'm not defending how great it is or anything. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying they've done it and able to modernize
Dynasty
it.
Is good.
You can't. All right. But you can't modernize this premise without changing the premise.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, every time I hear you guys say the word lost, even in common sentence, I sort of smile in the back of my mind.
What's
because it's very much like lost.
You have to find
it feels like lost.
The
bunker.
The movie was great up until the halfway point. And then it all started to kind of just get confused. And And the ending was terrible.
I hated the bros. I've never wanted to see somebody die so much as I did the guy that dies.
Yeah, but really, again, the brother that comes back, you're like, he's like you've mentioned before, is he a pod person now?
Oh, I know.
Like, yeah. Like, the idea of how they deal with, you know, life and death on this apparent island is just very confusing, because my question is, so you're just telling me all these, like, spirits are hanging out waiting to be, like, called back into, you know, this weird island with no memory of what the hell is going on?
Well, here's the best question, too, about that is, if somebody can truly come back from the dead, the island can grant that if you stay forever. Why doesn't his wife come back from the dead?
And he can...
She's a pod person every time. But they just send... It was like, oh, my brother's alive now, and now he's in this plane, but I have to stay... I'm like... What's happening? I admit, by the end, it's just atrocious. I like, but oh man, it was kind of a fun ride until about 2/3 of the way through.
If nobody got off the island, I think I would have enjoyed the ending a lot more.
Right,
like, no one died. Really.
There's no need to have a happy ending. It's a horror reboot. You don't have to have a happy.
The best
ending.
Thing about a horror movie is trying to figure out who's actually going to survive at the very end. And I feel
they,
like,
all
this,
they all do.
That's what I mean. For the most part, I mean, with the exception of the one guy with his dad or whatever, and the brother that now comes back.
Isn't
at
that
the
guy?
End.
Oh, he does die.
He dies jumping on the grenade.
Captain Hero. What's his name?
So I just feel that, you know, all these people getting off the island in the end.
Patrick.
You know, I just felt like that, you know, that's breaking the number one horror rule is, you know, most of them are supposed to die, and there's supposed to be one person traumatized in the end. You know, either being dragged back into it or, you know, not making it off the island, or maybe the plane crashes on her way out and she's just screwed, you know, like...
I felt like they tried to outthink you too much. So, like, this story with Lucy Hale, and I actually kind of liked her journey until all of a sudden, you know, it just sort of flips the switch and now she's the mastermind behind the whole thing. But, like, her story with the bully was kind of interesting. But then all of a sudden, by the end, I'm supposed to feel for the bully. It didn't, to me, make any sense. Because all of a sudden, this bully was there to be taught a lesson. And I guess she learns one. But now she's a main character. But she was never going to be a main character. Like, I guess because they brought her in the way they brought her in, I'm like, you're not the character I'm supposed to be following right now.
Right.
And they tried to outthink you too much.
Well, she was really as sadistic as she was supposed to be. She would have tortured her a hell of a lot more than she did.
They could have stopped it at the whole thing about it's Nick's mom. Like, that was a good enough twist.
Yeah.
It's like, sure. And then have, like, the person who's his wife really be Nick's mom.
Yeah.
And it's her fantasy. Sure. You got me.
That would have been
interesting. But they double think. It's like, we've got the Nick's mom, but it's not Nick's mom. It's really Lucy. Anyway, it was frustrating.
Too many plot twists.
It felt forced. Like, halfway, like, that's why I said, like, into the movie, you know, I was getting into it. I was following it. When the dead people started showing up, then I was like, okay, a little bit different, but all right, let's see where this is going. And then
like
an
M. Night Shyamalan movie.
So, I wouldn't know
so many
compare
plot
it that
twists.
Way. But it was just, yeah.
Maybe yeah.
It spiraled near the end where I was like, I don't know where this is going. I can't even tell where it's going. And then when she pops up and says, hey, I'm the evil one, it was just like,
maybe,
really?
Yeah.
See,
that's the big blow.
An M. Night, that's a good comparison, but I would say this. An M. Night movie goes along at its own sort of slow pace, and then there's one big twist at the end.
Yeah.
This was like, let's have a twist here
and
here and
here.
And then eventually it just got twisted, and they don't know how to wrap it up.
Like a bad roller coaster.
Yes.
So needless to say,
you start off excited, and then you hit the twist, and you don't feel good, and you just keep going.
And you end up vomiting.
So maybe we don't put this one on DVD.
But it did have some of the best script writing I've ever seen, with lines like yippee-ki-yay, yes please.
The writing was good.
Oh, I'm being sarcastic.
I don't know that the writing was that good.
I mean, I think it could have, the writing wasn't that bad. It's just there's just too many ideas.
Yeah.
You know, I think the movie could have been, maybe if it was longer, maybe they could have played those ideas a little more.
I thought it was going to be longer.
It was only 169 minutes. It's very short.
It was 169 minutes? Yeah. That's nearly 3 hours.
No.
169?
Well, I have to look up my Wikipedia now.
Sorry, 109 minutes.
Oh, that's very different. Okay, that's a, there we go.
There we go.
Yeah, that's an hour less.
Because 90 minutes is an hour and a half, so...
That's an hour 49 minutes. Yeah, it could have gone an extra 20 minutes or something like that, if it was writing itself well.
But I just felt like, yeah, again, like I didn't feel like it was a horror movie. I've seen a lot of different horror types of movies where it's either blood and gore or more thrilling. I feel that Sleeping with the Enemy was more thrilling than this movie.
Well, that's a bold statement.
It was. I'm serious. I personally feel like there's more buildup in that film than this one specifically. I didn't really care too much what was going to happen by the end of it because they were all still alive. So I was just kind of hoping that, you know, they'd start dropping off, you know, strategically. And then, you know, it would come down to maybe two or three characters left and then they'd have to make a choice. But it didn't even come to that. So I just felt like it was all very, like you said, like it was very forced. All over the place, lots of different ideas, you know, that could have potentially been good, but it just didn't really show.
I thought it was interesting that they all have terrible fantasies, except Gwen. Like, was the trick in her fantasy that she couldn't enjoy it? Because Gwen is the only one whose fantasy is flawless. Gwen is Maggie Q.
Yeah.
And she is in this fantasy. She marries the guy she wished she had. She has the child she always wanted. And she just thinks she doesn't deserve it. So she goes and flips it to a different fantasy.
Because it's not real.
It wasn't her real fantasy.
No, I guess that's true.
The island knows what your real fantasy is.
And they jump too
fast. But they give it to her in the first place, though. Yeah. Why not start with that one?
But they jump too quickly. She literally was at dinner being proposed to, and then next, you know, it's been 5 years. This is your daughter.
Oh, that like, just made sense to me, though, in the context, because they had to get there. They were reliving the moments that she would
Not have any memory of even having a kid, having that closeness with the guy and the child. Like, it just
isn't... It wasn't real, Alan.
No, I know.
This is not a documentary.
I know it's not a documentary. I understand it's a fantasy, but my point is, like, at some point, the fantasy has to end. So my point is, how exactly does that end without it just eventually ending with death anyway? I feel like in her fantasy, it would always end in death, whereas the party boys just wanted to party. Unless they overdosed, that's the only way it could probably end in death.
Well, they got taken out by drug lords, and Mr. Rourke is almost gleeful about it. Like, he's like, well, you know, you had everything, but you did not know that this money came to you by illegal means, and people want to get it, and they're like, what? And meanwhile, you know, Maggie Q is like, well, I want to have the husband of my dreams. He's like, then you shall have it. And it's like, oh, well, I guess hers wasn't so bad. Lucy Hale is literally torturing the girl.
She didn't torture her. That's what I mean. Like, it wasn't.
You
even
wanted
like,
to see that?
They dumped some garbage on her or whatever, some water, you know, shocked her for maybe a second. Like, you know, she didn't even shove anything into her. She didn't, like, use the tools that were put in front of her. Then that weird guy shows up and starts doing it for her.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
wasn't that supposed to be her therapist? That
was. Well, I think it was like an incarnation of her therapist. It's.
But does he look like that? Because his jaw is wired shut.
Imagine not.
What therapist is that one?
Imagine not.
Like, I'm in therapy. My therapist, you know, is nice.
I feel like, again, more could have been done to give it more of a horror feel than what they did give. I just feel like it was like, you know, oh no, and then that's it. Like, it's not like, you know, I'm not sitting there, you know, freaking out like, oh God, she's going to bleed out all over the place before she even gets out of the house. Like, it was nothing like that. I just, again, and then, you know, them bumping into the crazy wild man that had no reference point at all.
I love Michael Rooker.
Yeah,
and then
what's his deal? Like, he was just lost out there.
Well, no, he was already there
lost,
previously. Yeah, he was definitely lost out there. Definitely. I mean, he found the thing that was making the island give it its power, but no one even thinks to destroy this thing the entire time that they're there. Like, they're standing right in front of it. You have guns in your hands or whatever. Nope, let's just leave that thing there.
Well, I mean, so maybe it's better to leave it alone than you don't know what the...
I would have taken it out.
Right?
I would have taken it out in a heartbeat and been like, the island is going to blow, and I'm going with it. I don't even care. Why not?
But well,
you don't know the consequences, right? Like, on Lost, for example, you turn the wheel, you go back in time. You know, you don't need to smash a mirror. You don't know what it does.
That's okay. I'll do it anyway.
Yeah, you would.
I would.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, are we going to live or die? I don't know. Let's find out.
That's just like horror movie fan speak. It's like, well, obviously, I wouldn't go into the room.
I wouldn't go upstairs.
I wouldn't go upstairs.
I'd jump out the window.
I think Adam's right. I'm like, if you're in the same situation, you're not going to say, I don't care if I die. Let's blow this baby up. You're saying that because you're bored. That's what you're saying.
No, I would have destroyed it. I'm sorry. You come across something, you know it. There's something fishy about it. You know what? Screw where it's coming from. I got to take this out. You know, it would have been more, they could have even made it like, you know, it's an alien pod that landed on the Earth and that's what it is. And, you know,
supposed to be mysterious.
I know, but my point is, like, if they had done a concept like that, that would have been interesting. Where maybe the pod people aren't, you know, pod people. They're actually extraterrestrials, you know.
Or maybe it's just one person's fantasy that this island exists and you're just part of that fantasy.
Whoa.
Maybe the whole world's a fantasy.
Right?
Mind blown.
How deep do you want to go with this, right?
I thought that by the dead guy coming back at the end, they were going to be like, have some extra twist where they find out that the evil now gets a chance to leave the island.
Well, that's what I thought. When he looked out of the airplane window, I thought his eyes go black.
And yeah.
He'd be like, oh, he's getting off.
He's getting off. No.
No, nothing. Just...
He's like,
see you later.
That was also they could get the tattoo joke in.
It didn't change my world.
Well, I understood why they had to have that. Like, that was just the small I get it because that's
point.
Yeah.
No person that's going to watch that movie is going to get that joke.
Not your generation.
Not my generation. No.
Only like my generation and older who are not going to see.
No.
Fantasy. They're not likely to see this movie. No.
Well, I mean, okay, let's circle back, though. We were talking about the fantasies. Like, what about... In this film, almost all the fantasies are bad, as we talked about Maggie Q. But the question, do you think the film is trying to suggest that there's some sort of inherent danger to fantasies in general? Or is it just, like, stupid writing?
I think that fantasies can go... in either direction. You can either have a fantasy that you have a positive outlook for, and you have a fantasy that could probably take a darker tale. I think it depends on... my issue with it would be, you know, your thought process with this fantasy. What if you're thinking of one fantasy and then your mind switches to something else in that moment? Do you now get a mix of both?
Hmm.
That would have been interesting to kind of maybe play with if they had done that. But, you know, can fantasies be bad? I think so, especially depending on the intention you want from the fantasy. What is it in the fantasy that you desire that you can't personally have in real life? Is it a person? Is it a place? Is it an object? You know, what is it about it that you need to necessarily have? I mean, obviously, you know, for the boys, it was, you know, luxury and money and, you know, the high life. I guess you could say.
Which, by the way, chastity, best part of that movie. And I'm not talking about, like, oh, she's attractive. She had the best dialogue in the movie. Sorry.
I'm really disappointed in you, chastity. I'm so sorry.
But she's right the entire time. He's like, quiet, chastity. It's
like, well, that was also something that was really stupid. They're all running from these gunmen, but no one think to just go in the panic room.
They literally stood outside in the panic room.
No, but the two main characters had an opportunity to go in, and they just stood there and waited for the door to close.
Well, they're not intelligent men.
Chastity protected those, like, three people.
But I'm just saying that, you know, that was kind of dumb, because they were just still, what do we do? What do we do? Oh, no, she closed the door! Like, you could have gotten in there, you could have survived, you could have waited on the cameraman, like, oh, they're in the house, what are they really going to do? It's a panic room, they can't do anything. Oh, well. But, you know, and then the dad thing was weird, you know.
Well, all the fantasies were kind of surrounded by, like, making up for lost time, right?
Essentially, that's true.
Trying to get back something that they lost or that they weren't able to achieve when they were in younger years.
That's true. I hadn't made that connection. Boom. Except for the bros.
They just wanted to party.
I thought there would be separate fantasies with the bros, though. Like, one wanted to party. Maybe one had a secret that the other didn't know, and that fantasy comes out or something.
You're giving too much credit to the writing in this film.
So I'm not giving anything any type of credit. I'm just saying it could have been done a little bit better. I didn't mind the gay twist.
Again,
that was okay.
The fantasies are something they want to achieve, and they can't achieve it from whatever means, whether it's financial means or again, time lost or deaths of people, right? So there's no fantasies in them that weren't personal to them, right? It wasn't just the partying was just because they wanted to party. But they're the bros. They're supposed to be the comic relief.
which they weren't
supposed to be.
Yeah, they weren't really that comedic. I would have picked what's that guy?
We thought it would have been funny with Seth Rogen and James Franco as like the party guys.
Yeah, that would, well, yeah. If you had an A-list cast, then yeah, they had a D-list cast because they spent all their money on Michael Pena. That's what.
Well, Kim Coates was in it.
And Lucy Hale is pretty big now, or getting there. I mean, she has her new Katie Keene TV show on the CW right now.
Sure.
You know, trying
it was a CW cast for the most
kind
part.
Kind of, yeah, I guess. I didn't, like I said, there wasn't anyone else that stood out in the movie that I thought, oh, hey, I, you know, miss seeing your face, you know.
Yeah, that's fair.
There wasn't anyone that stood out where I was like, I have to see the, you know, the next film that they're going to be doing or anything like that.
That's okay.
Like, I know Lucy Hale is trying to break out in the horror movie, you know, entry. You know, she was already in Truth or Dare, and that was actually an okay horror film. Right. But for this one specifically, I mean, I think the only thing that was good about her acting, you know, was her hair. It was a good color, you know.
But circling back to the fantasies, though, for a minute, it was interesting. You know, I like what you said there, Adam, about it, you know, them trying to regain lost time. I would say that there's a difference between dreams and fantasies. And I would say, and I'm not trying to be like all metaphysical or anything like that, but I mean, like... What I would call a dream is like this is something that I want to achieve, or this is something that I'm going to invest in that is healthy. But in this one, you know, a fantasy is a fantasy different. I feel like a fantasy is something you can get lost in, as something that is, well, in this case, it's just them dwelling on past pain or revenge fantasies,
or
you know,
someone they've lost.
Right. Someone they've lost.
Unhealthy focuses.
There's an unhealthy focus, I would suggest, in fantasy. Not all. I'm not saying everyone is necessarily, and I know it gets down to semantics, but I feel like there's somehow a difference in like fantasy. That's why I think the premise made sense, is that you want to achieve your fantasies. Well, your fantasies are lacking just based on the premise of them, or something mm-hmm, like right. that. That's why I thought the idea of turning into a horror or whatever.
Well, I felt like there should be better consequence. He kept saying you have to let your fantasy play out, and none of them did.
It wasn't their fantasy. That's what they found out, though.
No, I know, but I mean, like, it kind of defeats the purpose of the line. You have to let them play it out. I felt like if they didn't play out, did that mean, like, you know, the walls and everything would disintegrate, and they'd find out that, you know, they're... now trapped in some weird cave or something like that, or you know what I mean, like some type of actual consequence, because you know they like basically gave into this contract getting there, that I feel like in order to leave they had to like live up to their end of the deal in order to leave. I feel like if they had put more focus on that and put more consequence on that, then people would have felt more compelled to live out the fantasy so they could get off the island versus just being allowed off the island.
Well, and you know, it was interesting because with their fantasies, they were trying to get something back, or they were trying to redeem part of their history. And in each of those moments, there really isn't much of a payoff on any of them.
No.
I wonder if they're all negative fantasies. Like, does anyone come to the island and have a positive fantasy, right? But it doesn't make a good movie.
Even
the woman who tried to get her marriage, or I guess her potential marriage back, it was still a negative fantasy.
Yeah, but she technically had two, because she got to go back to the day where the dude died.
Well, the fantasy was, I want a do-over. That's the only reason she gets the fantasy back, right? Yeah. Is because she convinces the island that, or Mr. Rourke, that the do-over was the wrong do-over. The island gave me the wrong one. And in some ways, I found hers the most interesting because she got something good, but she was the problem in it. So then she went back to the do-over angle, but it was weird.
Like, very strange.
You could have... They almost had too many fantasies going, and I get it, with a horror movie, you need an ensemble, and you need different things going on, but there were so many different things.
They have to tie it together in some way, and I felt like it could have been tied together, you know, in a much different way than obviously what they portrayed.
Well, like the thing with the father, that was actually an interesting idea. He finds out he's his son and believes him, and then 5 minutes later they're fighting because the dad is going to leave so that he doesn't die, and then they have a fight, and then it's over. And it was sort of like, okay.
But they both die anyway.
Does the dad die?
The dad gets shot up.
He gets shot in the raid,
doesn't
he?
Yeah, and then the son ends up jumping on the grenade to save everybody in the end.
But you see, the dad dies, but it's not his dad anyway, because he's... black-eyed, putty.
He's the creature, dad, or creature dad. He's creature fantasy island dad, but point being, you know, still, like, it's still kind of strange.
Well, the dad never went there as well to have a fantasy. He was there on a mission, right?
Is that, well, no.
He was never on the mission. He was like a one of those putty people, right? Wasn't he?
The dad was a real dad, I believe. Was he not?
No, the... Or was he fake? You're thinking of the gang or whatever. The people that were after the...
The drug lords?
The drug lords, yeah. They were putty people.
But so was the dad.
The dad wasn't putty people.
So the dad must have been putty people.
He was, because he died like 30 years before
He died. Although, I guess then he was a putty person.
That's what I mean. So
it still doesn't make any sense, though.
Well, the movie doesn't.
Well, obviously the movie doesn't make any sense, but I mean, like, it just doesn't make sense. When you start adding in dead people into the mix, and, you know, the fact that he wouldn't even recognize the guy as his own son, considering, like, I know he wouldn't necessarily know a point of reference, but, like, wouldn't you look at him and see yourself?
No. You know? Well, again, though, the way I think of it is kind of like The Matrix. Like, when you go into The Matrix, all those people are computer characters, right? Right. So they're programmed a certain way. These characters that they were interacting with were like, they were like goo, yeah. Goo with a human skin on them. So, and then to me that made sense, because I just assumed that that was just how he was programmed. This is the way it's going to play out.
Right.
Actually, you would have no frame of reference for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Back when I was a kid, there was an episode of G.I. Joe, which actually had a very similar idea, and everybody was sort of like, it looked like the other members of the team, but they were really, you know, this sort of almost Play-Doh type character. They were, and so with this phone, I just figured that's what they were doing. But that's what I mean. So, and to help the person live out their particular fantasy, which why, you know, we talk about them, the fantasy playing out.
Right.
I expected that at the end of the film, every single one of them would have learned something about themselves in related to their fantasy. That's what I expected.
It's a great form of therapy.
That's what I thought it was. A great
reality TV show.
Yeah. Well, or a horrible reality TV
show. Didn't they?
Show.
No, they you already
get the,
did it.
You get the guy from Survivor?
No, they did that. They Temptation Island, they did it. Yeah. And
this is very different than Temptation
Island. Oh, I know. I'm just saying that they did a version of that type of place.
I suppose.
You know, here's an island where you can find your love, or just sleep with lots of people and break up, you know, here you go.
There's a movie from the late 90s, I think it is, called The Game. Have you heard of this movie?
Doesn't that have, what's his name?
Douglas.
Yes.
Michael Douglas.
Yes,
I massive spoilers for anybody who hasn't seen the movie. But the end of this movie, he's been through hell, and then the end of this movie, it sort of resolves itself because he learns these lessons about himself, which is what I thought they were going to do here.
There was no lesson to be learned in this one.
But there were.
There were
lots of lessons to be learned that they never learn. Like, Lucy Hale's character, she's on the path to learning. Like, at one point, Michael Rooker, who, come on, man, he's great in this movie, where, you like, the, as crazy jungle man.
You know that, right?
It's Michael Rooker, isn't it?
Mr. Rourke is the
am right.
Michael Rooker is,
which one is
Michael
that
Rooker
one?
Is Damon. He's Jungle Dude.
Oh, Jungle Dude.
I was right on that. No, not Mr. Rourke. No, Michael Rooker is great in this movie, man. He's hilarious. I got here 3 weeks ago, and he doesn't care if you live or die. And I'm like, dude, like, didn't your plane, like, wonder where you were? This guy.
Yeah, the crazy jungle guy.
Merle.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a moment where he's walking with Lucy Hale and a woman who should have really been a pod person.
Yes.
Like, this is why I think really bothered me is, why was she there? Like, until we realize it's Lucy Hale's fantasy.
You also realize that she's also from the beginning of the movie, because obviously in the beginning of the movie she was running, trying to get away.
No, I get that. I get that. But it's still, like, from the scope of the film, I just don't get why she was there.
True.
But, like, there's a moment where Michael Rooker says to her, you know, you're right, you were wrong to treat her this way. And she's like, he says, you need to apologize. And she says, yeah, see? He goes, I'm talking to both of you.
Yeah.
And he looks, so I'm like, okay, this is Lucy Hale. She's going to let go of her anger and forgive her
bully.
Her bully at the end. And, like, the guy whose dad dies is going to learn something about himself,
learn,
right?
To move on from this tragedy.
Yeah, Maggie Q is on. There were lots of lessons that could have been learned that they just say to piss off at the end of the movie.
But they didn't focus on it. That's what I mean.
No, that's what I mean. They don't land the plane, no pun intended, the plane. because the lessons that they could have taught, that's what I thought, is at the end of the film, they would resolve it with people going, like, even though they've been through these traumatic experiences, Mr. Rourke would come out and say, ah, yes, well done. You've played it out, and now you've learned something.
Here's your reward.
Yeah, here's a free weekend in...
in an actual place that won't kill you.
Won't kill you. But they didn't do that.
Sponsored by Amazon. I'm kidding.
But, yeah, like, that's why... So I just assumed that they were going to go that route, more like the game, and they don't. They try and turn it into more of a traditional horror film by the end of it, right?
By the end, yeah.
I guess. Again, it didn't feel like a horror movie to me. I've seen better horror films.
Oh, there's lots of better horror films. You know, one thing, too, we talk about the end of the film. Oh, see, this whole storyline of the bully really bugs me because of how they flipped it at the end, but... On the plane, there's a really interesting moment. Maggie Q, whose character name I keep forgetting, it is Gwen, is speaking with Sloane. And one of the things she says is, Sloane finally says, I can't believe I did those things. I was wrong. And she says, you have to forgive yourself. So I was wondering what you think that means. Does it work in the context of the film? But what do you think they're trying to get at?
I feel for her, she needed to learn, obviously, her actions have consequences, and that she should kind of take a closer look at herself and the type of person that she gives off, regardless, like, obviously, like, you know, there's a lot of reference points to when she was younger and what she had done to Lucy Hale's character, but, I mean, you know, the fact that she was cheating on her husband, and, yeah. You know, she was obviously making really poor choices. You know, obviously, at the moment you hear all those things, you think, okay, well, you don't really feel bad for her, but really, I feel like she should have came out of it going, you know, I want to be a better person, I want to be more faithful to my partner, I want to, you know, be viewed as somebody that is respected, not as someone who, you know, causes deep pain for crazy people to hold on to. So I feel like she could have came out of it really kind of learning from her mistakes and maybe even hoping to, like, attempt to fix them. But I feel like she kind of left the island with, you know, the notion of, okay, I survived that. Okay, kind of back to reality. You know, as you said, no one really learned anything in the end. I think the only self-sacrificing moment was the guy giving up his life so that his brother could have one, even though his brother's now a pod person going into the, you know, real world.
But he's not a pod person. But anyway, we're going to have that conversation. That's the stupid thing about it. Anyway.
I mean, she'll still take a lesson away when she goes home, right? I mean, she was kidnapped, brought into an underground bunker on an island, tortured.
Oh, she's traumatized for sure. Yeah.
You know, she was glad to get off that island. And she's probably not going to bully anyone ever again. So,
well, part two. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because the thing that I liked about where they were getting at is this idea that she says, you know, I'm not that person anymore. You know, and she even has that face off moment with the other her in the caves. And she's like, I'm you, and I'm the real you. And she's like, no, I'm not like that. The thing that bothers me, and I think that would almost work if she hadn't just cheated on her husband, like, immediately. Like, because if it was like, hey, I did that 20 years ago, and I was completely ignorant, and I was wrong.
Right.
That's one thing. But she's still sleeping around on her husband, and finds out, like, immediately.
You got caught.
You know. So it doesn't quite work.
Right.
But the idea of forgiving yourself, I think, is interesting because I think if they'd landed that plane well, again, no pun intended, but where she was looking back on things she did in her youth and said, I'm sorry for those things, then there is an aspect of she's tried to make things right, mm-hmm. and she's carrying that burden. And, you know, if she's tried to make things right, then, yeah, there comes a point when maybe you just need to. Not that you just say, oh, I'm sure it was fine and ignore it. She's owned it. She said I was wrong. But...
It's just bad writing.
At least
that's that whole scenario. It's just, you can't just be over it. You just got there. I mean, who knows how old that video is, right?
Yeah, see, it's the video that kills it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where the bad writing comes in. They should have just not even included the video. And then she could have said, yeah, right, I learned my lessons. Or I've moved on. I've grown. But you can't just grow and...
Or maybe they have their aha moment and they pass through a barrier. And if they didn't actually mean it, they get incinerated. And then
Alan just wants everyone to die.
That's a theory.
You know... No, that's not true. I don't want everyone to die. It's just, again, there shouldn't have been that many survivors by the end of this movie. I'm sorry, but, like, usually you have, like, maybe two people, three if you're lucky, that are supposed to survive a horror movie. And when you have almost the entire group survive by the end of it, it just feels like, what was the point?
Everything you're saying, and that I'm hearing you say, is that you wished it was more of a horror movie. I just wanted it to be better written.
Oh, I still want it to be better written. I'm just saying, if it's going to be called a horror movie, then make it a horror movie.
Right.
Because this wouldn't even be in a horror section that I would keep it in. I would keep it in the other section of maybe I may watch this one day if I'm desperate enough. But it's not something I'm going to keep with my classic horrors, you know, with, you know, Halloween or Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street.
We'll just call it a Ginger thriller, Snare. But it's advertised as a horror movie.
Yeah, I saw the trailers, and I messaged Alan, because you guys saw it before I did, and said, what should I expect? Because the trailers look terrifying. You know, there's, you know, you don't know it's black goo. You think it's blood, and... The shot of them dragging her downs in the trailer, I think, or something to that effect. And it's like they play all the horror music. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, am I going to be scared out of my mind? And I wasn't, because it wasn't really a horror movie. It was more of a thriller, sci-fi thriller, which is fine, but own it.
If I get to the end of the movie and I still haven't figured out what's going on, then it's done really well. In this movie, I felt like, although I was guessing probably different things that happened, you know, it still was kind of predictable in some cases or whatever. Not completely, but I mean, like, in some cases, maybe. I just don't feel like it had the horror element to it, so it just wasn't something I was scared watching.
No, but I will say that it was interesting in the fact that it was trying to get somewhere. Like, there were a lot of conversations in this. The idea of what it means to forgive was there. The idea of actually owning what you've done in the past and letting accept, like, asking for forgiveness and then forgiving yourself. I thought that's good. That's an interesting thing. The idea of, I think one of the lines is, revenge ain't gonna fix you, only you can fix you, or something like that. I think that, again, is Michael Rooker, you know, Merle. And the idea of regret is a disease. It's afflicted you for too long, and I have the cure. Those are interesting topics that, if well written in this movie, could have been really, really good.
It had potential.
Yeah. Well, maybe it isn't 40% on Rotten Tomatoes in my mind. Maybe it is more of a 20. The more we talk about it, the less I like it. But yeah, like, at one point he says, your life's about to change forever. I hope you're ready. But their lives really don't change by the end of the film.
The only thing that changed out of it was that they all could have done something differently that potentially could have saved that guy's life.
Except Patrick.
Right.
Patrick was dealing with a dad that died 20 years earlier or something.
He was scared of going into the building of the fire because he was a cop.
The fire, right.
So yes. That's what I mean. Like, they all maybe learned from that aspect that, okay, maybe if they weren't so focused on their individual issues that were going on, it could have been preventative. But then again, that kind of goes into what if territory. What if you had been there before the fire had started? What if you had talked to him before the fire started? What if you had gone and met him for that coffee instead of blowing it off so you could do whatever it is you were doing? You know, that's a lot of what if scenarios that most people usually play in their head when something like that happens, because you just don't know when it's going to happen.
Right.
In this case, I feel like you're right. Maybe they could have kind of left the island feeling like, okay, maybe they should pay a little bit more attention to the situations in front of them than being so callous about, you know, small things like that. You know, that's something they could have taken with themselves so that, you know, in the future it could be preventative kind of thing. But again, I feel like there was no background on this character that was killed that gave you that pull to kind of feel bad about the situation in the first place. Because you knew nothing about him. You knew that, okay, yeah, a tragedy had happened and they were partly a part of it, especially with Gwen's character being the reason that the fire started to begin with. But I mean, no one had any kind of connection to it. And if they had shown Lucy Hale's, at least, character, her connection to it a little bit more, especially to this guy.
Didn't she only go on one date with the guy?
Mm-hmm.
He went on one date and she tried to kill five people over him.
She'll be the next you, you know? Like,
are you talking about me?
No, the TV show. You know? She'd be like,
she'll be just like you.
Yeah, like, no.
To our listeners, I have not tried to kill five people.
If anyone has seen that show and what I'm referencing, you'll understand that it makes sense. You know, if she was that obsessive compulsive over this guy that, you know, she feels that was going to be her soulmate, we have no way of knowing that. But, I mean, I just feel like it's kind of overkill. Because now it just kind of shows that her obsession, you know, is basically her fantasy. Her obsession to kill this or go after this bully. Her obsession to be with this guy that was taken from her because of all these people. You know, everyone must pay. But really, you know, she played a part in it too. She could have gone there earlier.
Yeah, but no villain thinks they're the one that screwed up. And
right, but I just don't feel like she was really a proper villain.
Well, no, it's not a proper script. Yippee-ki, yes, please. Quiet, Chastity.
I'm really disappointed in you, Chastity.
I'm really disappointed.
I'm so sorry.
I like the part where they're sitting by the pool and Chastity is like, you know, actually, I think you're right. And he's like, quiet, Chastity. Like, she's absolutely right in what she says. Well, I was going to ask you guys about defining a hero, but I don't feel like we go anywhere with it, frankly, because, unless you have something you want to say about
that. I don't know if anyone was really a hero. I mean, the only hero aspect would be the guy saving his brother.
Yeah.
That could be hero-esque, yeah. or the military dude, you know, jumping on the grenade to save everybody. You know, that could be kind of viewed as
a
hero.
So, no, you're talking about Patrick. Patrick did it, though.
A long time ago, though.
Patrick actually did it for the people in the, you know,
near the end of
mirror room.
Before they end up waking up going, what happened? You know, he jumped on the grenade and then, you know, it was just over.
Right.
So that could be considered, I guess, a hero moment. But was he a hero in the film? No.
No.
No one was.
It was interesting that the film tried to portray, or the film went with the type of hero that sort of serves others. I thought that was interesting because usually in a horror movie, the type of hero is the one who kills everybody. But if they can. But the heroes in this one are really Tatu, who lets his brother live by staying at the island. He sacrifices his life back home, if you will.
Not really much of a sacrifice.
Well, not on Fantasy Island, I suppose. Maybe his brother's the one that's got the problems.
I get to go home to Bill's and he gets to stay on this island?
Yeah,
what was right. I thinking?
Yeah, he got a pretty good deal out of that, actually.
What is he really losing? He gets to stay on this amazing island, probably gets to be surrounded by everything he wants to be surrounded by.
I hadn't thought of it that way.
Like, what are you really losing and what are you sacrificing? You're sacrificing your life to live on this amazing island with, you know, everything that you probably ever wanted, you know, while your brother gets to go home and probably wait to kill himself because he hates his life.
Whoa. He got dark there.
He probably becomes the new Mr. Rourke, but...
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Who, Tattoo?
Yeah.
Is that the idea that he kind of takes over?
That's just a theory. Because it could eventually become a fantasy because there's nothing left to fantasize towards.
True. Is killing Mr. Rourke? That's his new
not
fantasy?
Not killing Mr. Rourke, but becoming Mr.
Becoming
Rourke.
The next Mr. Rourke for Fantasy Island 2.
Right.
The Return. Return,
right. Fantasy Island 2, the fantasying.
Yes, exactly, yes.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way, but you're actually right. I don't think he has anything back home that he wants to give up.
No! Anyway, so, there is more backstory about each of their characters of what they were leaving behind if something were to happen and they were trapped there, then, like, you know, say someone had a kid they left behind, a mom that needed to be cared for, you know, something like that.
All
like, it's all speculation in theory, yes, but I'm saying if there is more hold, then I would get it, but considering... Like, he was a party goer to begin with, and he ends up staying in the end. The most he's losing out of it is a relationship with now this apparent reimagining of his brother, who's now back to life, you know.
Who may or may not be alive.
Who may or may not be alive or even bleed red.
Right.
You know, he
if he gets married,
he gets home,
kids.
He gets shot, you know, he bleeds black, and then all of a sudden everyone's like, what's happening? And then the pod people return, you know, or...
Maybe there was no hero. Maybe that one guy.
Lucy Hale almost was a hero by saving that girl, but then ended up being the villain.
But she's
so
the villain.
Obviously, she's not. She's definitely not a hero, but I also don't think she was a good villain either, because she could have killed that girl right away.
And she didn't. I would have.
Wow.
But
Alan's in for blood tonight.
So Patrick threw himself on a grenade. That makes you a hero, I guess.
So he's the only real hero.
The thing they were going for is like a sacrificial side. And I think that's what they were trying to do with Tattoo. Or Brax, or whatever you want to call him. I think they're the idea that he'll live.
His was selfless, I guess.
It's supposed to be a selfless act, but yeah, considering that he gets anything he wants on the island, it's not selfless. Much of a selfless
act. He's
not
losing anything, no.
Well, that's if he comes back. He's technically dead, right? So it's up to the island to choose what form he comes back in. He didn't come back.
Yeah, that's true.
So he could just be dead.
Maybe.
It doesn't say, there's no one says that just because you die on the island, you come back.
Right. But no one's really a hero. I mean, like, even that girl in the end getting her fantasy that wasn't supposed to be there in the first place.
She doesn't even complete it, does she? She doesn't even save anybody.
No, yeah, well, remember they tell her, they're like, oh, you haven't had a fantasy in this, so therefore you could change it all. It's just like, that's it. Like, it just so happens that the side character that was supposed to die in the beginning
of
the
movie now is the hero because he saved everybody. A group of people.
I guess, yeah.
You're not a hero for bringing your brother back from the dead.
Yeah, but he didn't really save everyone. And then Mr. Rourke isn't really a hero for realizing that he should let his wife go.
Well, it's not that doesn't make you a hero, no.
No, but I think the idea, the film's idea of a hero is someone who's willing to give up what they want, which I thought was interesting. Because Mr. Rourke, we could argue whether he is a hero, but I think in the eyes of the film, he becomes a hero for doing that. I'm not saying that they do a good job of it. I'm saying that I think in the eyes of the film, that's what they went for, which is not typical in any horror films I've seen. The hero is usually the one who is the toughest, who is willing to hack their way through the jungle and the people and survive.
Right, because Mr. Rourke also got called out on his shenanigans, and he probably just felt guilty and then made a decision. So you're not really a hero because you got guilted into it.
Yeah, that's true.
He kind of got guilted into letting his wife go.
Good use of the word shenanigans, too, by the way. Credit
does that make you a hero? I think if you get guilted into it, it doesn't make you a hero. Because a hero should be like a selfless act.
But there wasn't really a selfless act, though.
Except for the grenade.
For the grenade moment. Yeah, okay. So you're right. So, I mean, that moment would
maybe
be the only
learned his
hero
lesson.
Moment.
Maybe
that is. Because his lesson along the way was courage. So maybe he was kind of Wizard of Oz. Wizard of Ozian in that way, you know?
Yeah.
Except the other ones didn't learn anything.
No.
It'd be like if you watched The Wizard of Oz and Dorothy only found the Cowardly Lion. And
I've
then
been
Dorothy's
walking on
killed.
This brick road for hours.
and then Dorothy's the villain. The piece, but the lion makes it to Oz anyway.
Dorothy decided to take out Glenda and, you know, become besties with the Wicked Witch.
Now you're writing a movie. Yeah. That's,
now
well, that sounds like
now
a good story.
Now we're getting off topic. That's another podcast.
That's another one. The Wizard of Allen. Well, on that note, we should probably start to spin out because we're spinning out already. So let's screen it or skip it. Blumhouse's Fantasy Island, screen it or skip it.
So screen it. There's some good moments, and it's still, you know, if you got nothing else to watch, watch it. It's not total trash.
That's a strong recommendation.
Like I said, there are some lessons to be learned, and there are some, you know, feel-good moments. So it's a good watch if there's nothing else to watch.
Skip it. Straight up skip it. It's not a horror movie.
Alan's a bitter man.
Watch Halloween or Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday the 13th, Orphan even, Ginger Snaps, you know.
Or watch Lost. You'll have to.
You watch
Lost.
Right.
You'll really understand it.
And you still get your disappointment in the end.
Exactly. So
it takes you a lot longer to get there.
Not really. If you're smart, you'll realize by season 3 what's going on.
Well,
and then you don't even need to finish it.
Let's not get into Lost anyways.
We pretty much have. I am going to say the one that rises up in the middle of these sometimes is Stream It, which is don't bother going to the theater. But you know what? I don't think it's total trash either. If you're sitting at home and it shows up on Netflix, why not? That to me seems like, sure. I still don't think it's 9% on Rotten Tomatoes, but I do think it's bad. Just because of the writing, they try to do too much. We've already covered that, right? So, I mean, it's fine. It's sort of fine. It's almost fine. It's fine.
My fantasy is for it to end.
But I mean, you still have to watch bad movies to have a subjective view on like cinema, right? So if you only watch good movies, you're never going to realize anything's bad.
True.
Wait. Sometimes that's a podcast right there.
Sometimes you got to watch some pretty bad things to have a decent perspective.
So if you really want to know what good is, you have to watch some bad before it to balance it out.
We didn't turn it off halfway. We've had some movies where we've just turned them off. I can't think of what they are right now, and it's probably a good reason why. So
that's true. There's been a few movies we've literally stopped because,
well, sure,
it's just not worth it.
Yeah, that's fair. You just give up, but
what? I would watch it. I'd watch Fantasy Island. Maybe not again, but...
But you saw it.
I saw it.
You're all right with it. All right. I respect that. Alan's bitter, but, you know, I respect that.
I have more respect for horror movies.
I have more respect.
I expect more, and especially in this day and age, they should be good at it, and I'm still waiting.
Someday, so. I hope we have you on the podcast for a movie you liked. I'm
hoping you're right. A lot of these movies that we've been talking about lately have just been
really... I think you liked Maleficent, the sequel.
I did. I didn't mind it. The outfits were on point. I said that already.
Oh, yeah, I remember you talking about that.
I'm waiting for a good movie.
Thank you guys for coming on. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. For you at home, a reminder, you can find us wherever podcasts are available. It's Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. You can find us on your Alexa device via Stitcher. If you go to the podcast page at screenfish.net, you can download Fishing for More, which are small group questions that you can use to get the conversation started if you decide to see this gutter trash. I mean, this film. Next week, we will be back with The Call of the Wild, the new version of the classic book was starring Harrison Ford and a CGI dog. I think that's going to be fun. And, so, guys, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, and for you at home, we started the conversation. This was Screenfish.